On this episode of The Flatus Show, number 47, Big C puts me to task by leaving a voice message, which I respond to. Also, the first part of my trip to New York. This and more. The Flatus Show, starring Kenty and Jose. For my diet. Welcome to the Flatus Show. I guess I did that backwards because it's been a couple weeks. I was in New York last week. Well, anyway, welcome to the Flatus Show. I'm Kenty. Jose's taking a nap. You can reach me at kenty@theflatusshow.com, and my number is 206-339-JOSE. And this week's show is going to be an audio trip, part of my trip to New York, which I recorded a lot of it. And you'll be hearing over the next few weeks portions of that trip. This is the arrival. I'm calling it Babylon, as you'll see. You'll hear why in the show. But since that is the symbol, I guess, for the trip, that's why I called it that. And it sort of like shows up again and again. I do want to mention, first off, is the Easter seals. Now, Darren, thank you so much for donating $25. And thanks to somebody who donated $50. I just wrote somebody for their name. So I'm up halfway. I have $75 towards my goal of $150. I'm doing the walk on June 4th. So if my listeners could skedoodle over to theflatusshow.com, click on the second hole of the recorder. That is my podcast. It will come to my blog where you'll see my show notes. In the show notes, you'll see a link. It says Easter Seals. Click on that. It goes to an Easter Seals page where you can donate the money to the Easter Seals for my walk, to sponsor me for the walk. Sorry, I'm yawning. I just woke up from a nap. So I'd appreciate it so much if my listeners can, besides Darren, can donate some money towards this goal of mine to help me, because I'm going to do the walk. I'm trying to raise $150, so any bit can do. Seven and a half of you can donate $10 each, except for the half who can donate $5. But it's easy. You can use a credit card. I think you can also send a check if you want to do that. There's information for you to do that. I'd prefer just for you to do it all online. You know, that way I don't have to deal with taking the money down to the registration table. I have to go there anyway, but you know, just rather just have it all done online. So that's that. Easter seals. So please, 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 if you could do that, that's okay. I also want to thank J.W. Richard for of Mandrake Society Radio, especially for mentioning on his show that I am looking for people to donate money towards the Easter Seals, towards my goal of that I'm earning, trying to collect $150 for the walk. So, JW, thank you so much for doing that. That means a lot that you're spreading the word on your show to help me towards my goal of $150. So, thank you, JW. Another part of this episode, Big C has put me to task. He left me a voice message, and I respond to that. So what I did is I clipped out the part of the podcast, I think it was 46, that he was putting me to task for, and as well as his response, and I respond to them. So you can hear the original, his what he thought, and my response. So, just a little thing about Babylon. Now, when one thinks of Babylon, well, you think of the Tower of Babel, right? The Tower of Babel in Babylon. And I think that's the story where everybody spoke the same language and they were building the tower to reach heaven. And I think God destroyed it and confused everybody by having them speak a different language so they couldn't work together towards their one goal of doing whatever they were doing, in this case reaching heaven. So, yeah, Babylon was this sort of symbol, I guess, for New York. It's the first thing I heard when I left the train. And I saw Babylon. I don't know, 4 or 5 times while I was in New York City. And, well, the reason why I heard it is in Penn Station, and they have trains that go all over, and the trains to Long Island. And Babylon is a town in Long Island. So I did a little search about Babylon here, and which I'm going to talk about right now. It's not going to be a whole section on itself, but communication. Now, Babylon. New York is a place of communication. First of all, you have Broadway, which is a communicative art, singing and dancing and relaying something. And of course, the actors feeding off the audience's applause and wonder. Oh, there's a cat. There's the cat. Tuffy. I'll talk about Tuffy Tuna. I'm yawning. It's Tuffy's last day with us. We're going to give him away to a friend of ours because he was spraying. And I don't like that. And I don't want that. And I know cats do these things. Maybe I'm mean-spirited. I do like Tuffy, but I just don't want to deal with a cat. Especially a cat that sprays. So, anyway, back to Babylon. So, and communication. Now, New York, also, like Babylon, has many, 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 many large towers. And something I've noticed is that the city is always in flux. Something new is being built all the time. Big, tall buildings. Another thing with communication is what's up with Times Square and those gigantic advertisements. Why does it matter? Why is it that this kind of advertisement is that the Times Square is the center for this kind of advertisement? These huge, huge advertisements for things like cell phones and technology and stuff. Why is New York that? Why is New York attract that? I wonder. Now, of course, that's the type of communication from vendors to merchants to the customer. But Babylon, yeah, Babylon. There's some other interesting things about Babylon. They had it was also the seat of the Hanging Gardens, which is one of the 7 wonders of the world. Let's see here. And there's a bunch of other stuff here, too, which I read. And you know what? I'm just going to get on with the show, you know? Fuck it. Anyway, Babylon. If you're interested in learning more about Babylon and Babylonia and all this other stuff, you can go to Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. You'll see all about how Babylon was ruled by astrology and astronomy. It had a long history. It goes back to Sumer and Sumeria and what else was there? What's that? Gilgamesh, Nebuchadnezzar, And then it ended. And then it ended. The Persians came, and the Greeks came, and the gods and religions of Babylonia were lost. Yeah, there's mathematics. Also, it says here, okay, let me read about the mathematics of Babylonia. The Babylonian system of mathematics was sexagesimal, or a base 60 numerical system. From this, we derive our modern-day usage of 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, and 360 degrees in a circle. The Babylonians were able to make great advances in mathematics for two reasons. First, the number 60 has many divisors. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 12, 15, 20, and 30, making calculations easier. Additionally, unlike the Egyptians and Romans, the Babylonians had a true place value system, where digits written in the left column represented larger values, such as in our base 10 system, 734 equals 7 times 100, 3 times 10, and 4 times 1. Among the Babylonians' mathematical accomplishments were the determination of the square root of 2 correctly to 7 places. A clay tablet shows this. So they had the square root of 2 up to 7 places. They also demonstrated knowledge of the Pythagorean theorem well before Pythagoras, as evidenced by a clay tablet dating 1900 BC. And the translation is, translation of this tablet reads, 4 is the length and 5 is the diagonal. What is the breadth? Its size is not known. 4 times 4 is 16, 5 times 5 is 25. You take 16 from 25 and there remains 9. What times what shall I take in order to get 9? 3 times 3 is 9. 3 is the breadth. So, it's really not a Pythagorean theorem. It's a Babylonian theorem. So, and it's also the fact that our usage of 60 seconds in a minute and et cetera, it comes from Babylonia. So every time we're looking at the clock, every time we're looking at a circle, it is Babylonia. Where that's the culture where it comes from. The culture is from Babylonia. Mathematics. Well, actually, mathematics, I think, was algebra. Algebra was Islamic, developed from Islamic people. But Babylonia, we owe a lot to Babylonia. So, anyway, on with the show. I received a voicemail from Big C, and about what episode? The one before this, 46, I think it is. It was JW's response. Yeah, it was my response to JW's voicemail, and the voicemail that Big C sent puts me to task, which you'll hear. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the clip from last week's show, so you have so you can listen to this in context, followed by Big C's voice comment, and then I will respond at the end. Here's my original clip, and then it'll be followed by Big C's voicemail. But there's always going to be a group of people, and especially like these fundamentalist Christians, which they have a sense they're right, and that's that. And they don't want to come to the table. There's no dialogue, and they don't care. And what concerns me is this cobble of Christians, changing the government for the worse. I mean, look at George Bush, what he has done with putting Roberts in and Scalito, which is even worse. I mean, Roberts, he's apparently a very good lawyer and everything. But don't you think that's judicial activism by putting those people in? Do you really think that they have a fair and balanced view of everything? Especially Scalito. The things I've heard about that, asshole. you know, Roberts, there's no history in Roberts, really. You know, he's a wild card. Who knows where he's going to go? But whatever happened, you know, politics has to be taken out of the law. And it seems to me that Scalito and maybe, and I don't know about Roberts, but they have an agenda. They look at, what they do is they have already decided what the Constitution is. So, yeah, George Bush can say, oh, yeah, they're going to make their judgments based on the Constitution. Yeah, on their view, on their interpretation of the Constitution, you know? You know, the Constitution is, one of the great things about the Constitution is that it is a organic thing. It can grow. And I believe that they're going to try to make it into some sort of crystalline structure with one interpretation and to the benefit of whoever, you know? You know, who knows what's going on with the world? I mean, well, I've talked about this before, and it's depressing, but like with the environment, the way it's changing, and who knows what's real anymore? Or what is a real threat, I should say. Of course we know what is real. Or should know what's real.
Hey, Kimpy, this is Big C. And I'm just calling, I've listened to the end of the show number 46. And I gotta say, there's a lot of things in this episode that interest me and bring up different thoughts in my head. And I'll say those mostly for later, but I do have to take issue, honestly, with your opinions on the two judges that Bush put in. Now, I'm not going to argue facts. I'm not going to say, oh, they're great. No, what I am going to argue is your closed-minded opinion of them, saying that they're going to interpret it according to their opinion. And well, yeah, they are, dude. All of them interpret the Constitution according to their opinion. That's why, actually, you know, when they write their final say on a judgment, the Supreme Court writes their final say, it's called an opinion. They write their opinion out. And when you say you don't believe these guys will be fair and balanced, is anybody truly fair and balanced in this world? Now, I'm not defending the two judges. I know nothing about them other than their names and that they're appointed. I really am not going to argue about them. What I'm arguing with is how closed-minded you came to the table, and that's not you. You normally come to the table open-minded and arguing about issues, and that's, you know, why you and I started our other show. But I've not heard you be this closed-minded in any episode, so I had to say, I got to take issue, man. That's not cool. I believe humans cannot be unbiased. We are shaped by our experiences and by what we're taught. And there are liberals on the judges panel, there are conservatives. And where I agree with the statement that politics should be removed, everything in this life is connected. And it's like saying my liver should be removed just because it's going to change the way I process food. Well, I mean, you lose your liver, you die. We can't remove politics because we don't live in a vacuum. We can't remove our religious beliefs because we don't live in a vacuum. We are who we are, and I'm sure there are, we got to go based on previous actions, and like I said, with Roberts, there's no way to know where he's going to go because there's not much history there. And I'm rambling, so I'm going to cut it short here, but dude, what the hell? I mean, you're not closed-minded. You're one of the most open-minded people I know. And for you just to come out and be ill about these guys and how they're going to interpret it based on their opinion, I'm like, that's a weird statement coming from you. So, I don't know. I just had to point that out. We all see things the way we see them. There's a saying that comes to mind. It's from a movie and maybe from something else. But I like the saying. It goes like this. Believe only half of what you see and none of what you hear. So, reality is perception. Anyway, love your show, man. I'm going to keep listening. And I know you you take criticism as well as a pat on the back. And it's the first time that I've had an issue. But love you, man. Bye.
So, Big C, I'm going to, I believe what you're saying, that I was closed-minded. It was a closed-minded thing to say, and that you also say humans can't be unbiased, and removing politics from this kind of thing is like removing a liver from your body. You can't do it because the body will die. Well, I want to respond to that first, is that politics, you know, politics should be removed from this law part. Because I think it's just a bad technique in politics, is that, you know, sort of you promise your constituency that you'll put in people, you'll put people into power that, you know, choose their view. And especially something like the United States Supreme Court, because they're in there until they die unless they choose to leave. And you can have, you know, in the case of Roberts, I mean, depending on, you know, I really don't know much about Roberts, but let's say he was a real cocksucker, you know, 20 years or more of his, you know, of this saying the same thing. So I guess, you know, ultimately what I was trying to say is that it seems to me that a president who's going to be electing officials for posts should think about it, should think that, you know, the president is serving all of the country, you know, only half the country voted for Bush, and that's debatable. A president should look at the whole at the country as a whole. I think that Bush has an agenda. I think the Republican Party has an agenda to be the only ones in power. You know, clearly that's not the case because there are Democrats elected and stuff. But, you know, just the way that the Republicans work, they made a big stink over a blowjob. And no one's making a big stink over what, you know, Bush has been doing. I mean, you know, taking away our civil rights, tapping people and, you know, tapping people's phones or whatever they're doing. It's just different, you know. And as for, you know, saying that this is like taking your liver out, well, I like I said, I think it's a habit. It's a behavior that should be stopped. And behaviors can stop and habits can stop. You know, it's not like a liver. It's not necessary. And maybe it has been. And maybe it's just increasing, but it doesn't have to be. And I see, and I see a different way of doing it. I don't necessarily think I can explain it. I just know there has to be another way, one where these things are separated. And I'm also worried about big business. I mean, it seems like more and more consolidation is going on. So there's only four or five big players, five at the most. You know, in industries like food and stuff, I understand there's like really only four major, you know, businesses that own all the food in the country, and food distribution and what else? The seed companies and stuff. I've been seeing these movies. And again, I realize there's only so much I can take. You know, I can read this stuff, how awful this stuff is. Big business is taking over and these fundamentalist Christians taking over, like in what's that woman's book that she wrote about? Set in the Future. She's a Canadian author. I forget the name of the book, but anyway. Woot, woot, woot! It's Margaret Atwood, and the novel is The Handmaid's Tale. Woot, woot, woot! It just, you know, frustrating for me. And I don't know. I just cry out as I the frustration I feel. So that's basically what my podcast is anyway, is whether it's fair or balanced, I don't know. But I have to talk about how I feel. I mean, what I see. It just, you know, I don't want to necessarily believe the worst of things. Even George Bush, I don't want to think the worst of, because it's too fucking tiring to do that. At the same time, you put your guard down, and the next thing you know, it's a totalitarian state. It's not easy to live in a democracy. And so, at the same time, living in a democracy, there are things that happen which we have no control over. You can say, oh, well, you voted George Bush in. Well, first of all, did we really vote George Bush in? And is it his right to be so secretive and to take so much power? I mean, in the last century, what they say the same thing about Andrew Jackson. They called him King Andrew. You know, he consolidated the power in the executive branch. But the same thing's happening, but it has to stop. You know, and as for big business, I mean, that's no capitalism if you only have four or five companies competing against each other, because, you know, eventually they're going to consolidate and it's going to become a monopoly. That was the problem of the end of the last century with monopolies, like big names like Carnegie and Rockefeller and stuff. And that has to stop. That's no way that people should live, you know. It should be smaller, you know. Smaller, smaller, smaller. Smaller companies, more of them. That's competition. And it should be local. Forget about this global crap. There's a global village that Hillary Clinton talks about and stuff. I'm talking tired of the global village. You know, I want to deal with my own village. You know, of course, at the same time, this podcast, I'm reaching, you know, I can reach, you know, people from all over the world. So you're hearing me, right? That's fine. I want to talk to you. I want to understand. But you know what? In my day-to-day life, in my 40 square miles or wherever that is apparently the village size that we should be thinking about, and that means like the food we should eat should only come within 40 miles of where we live. You know, I don't want to have a big business and things imported here from wherever, New Zealand or wherever. Nothing bad against New Zealand, but, you know, keep your own beef there and eat it, and we'll have our beef here. In China, I'm sorry, but, you know, I don't want any of your stuff, you know. We'll make the stuff here. So that's what I think. And who knows if that's a good idea or a bad idea. But I think it should be local. Should be more local. Get rid of big business. Stop importing stuff from all over the world. Take care of yourself in your own area. And communicate with everybody. Don't become so small that you forget the world. I mean, the world is out there. Maybe global ideas, but local government and local sustenance, sustaining ourselves locally. And just so my listeners, you know, there's a big thing about, you know, this world government thing. I think that's an awful idea. I hope that never happens. Should be local government. Local, local, local. Nothing global. Forget about the globe is just the earth. And as for governance and trade and everything, should be local. Local. Local.
Make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. Make just one heart, the heart you sing to. One smile that cheers you. One face that lights when it nears you. One man, you're everything to. Fame, if you win it, comes and goes in a minute. Where's the real stuff in life to cling to? Love is the answer. Someone to love is the answer. Once you found him, build your world around him. Make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. And you will be happy too.
11 o'clock train to Babylon. Make the stop at Boston.
10 trip. Penn Station 10. I don't want to go there. This is Long Island Railroad. I don't want that. Oh, there's Babylon. Let's get a Babylon. Far off the red. I mean, it's the metro. Now, whenever I come into New York City, I feel like I should be singing a Broadway show. 7th Avenue subway. There's everything in here. There's Verizon Wireless and this Burger Chef. Rose's Pizza. Ooh, I can get a smoothie here, too. Oh. There's a, I'll have to get a postcard and send it to somebody. Da, 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 da. Ooh, this is nice in here. Thank you for shopping in Manhattan. Oh, Babylon. That's the second time I've seen it. It's the third time I've seen it. Babylon. New Jersey Transit. Mineola. Montauk. Hampton's Bay. Green Lawn. Green Court. Green Bay. Everything is green in New Jersey. Oh, it's a McDonald's. ATM is 99 cents. Oh, here we go. Is there a weekend pass or something I can get? For about here just for a few days? Or do you, how do you buy, how, what do I?
It depends how many trips you're planning to take per day.
I don't know, a couple, I guess, I don't know.
Okay, are you planning to do more than 4 trips a day?
Probably not.
Okay. You can start yourself off with a prepaid value card.
Yeah.
And you could start with a $10, a $20 card.
Okay, how about a $10 card? How many trips will that give me? Thanks.
You get 6 rides with that.
6? Say thanks.
Do you have a map of the metro system?
Midnight, not a sound from the pavement. Has the moon lost her memory? She is smiling alone in the lamplight. The withered leaves collect at my feet, and the wind begins to moan. Memory, all alone in the moonlight, I can smile at the old. I was beautiful then. I remember the time I knew what happiness was. Let the memory live again. Every street lamp seems to beat a fatalistic warning. And a street lamp sputters, and soon it will be morning. Daylight, I must wait for the sunrise. I must think of a new life, and I mustn't give in. When the dawn comes, tonight will be a memory too, and a new day will begin. Burnt out ends of the smoke erase the stale cold smell of morning.
Side. Subways are nicer than the ones in Boston. No way. They're cleaner, actually.
I get up here and walk up the 63rd to see. Get up in Lincoln Center. I have a choice. Bottom. And it's raining like a mother. Oh, God. That's the Tower Records. 66. 65. There's Lincoln Center. I'm going this way. Fuck a duck. Puddles. Crazy drivers. Fuck a duck. What's the weather? Sucks. I might need to get another umbrella. This is insane. Podcasting in the rain. Podcasting in the rain. Ah! I'm wet. And it's downpouring. It's down pouring. It's down pouring. It sucks. Oh, it sucks. Oh, it sucks. Contrasty. Contorse. And my shoe is getting wet. What will I do? What will I do? 64th. This is not good. This is not good. This blows. And it makes me nervous. Here's 63rd Street. Da Vinci Cab. Where the hell is it? The ASCAP is right here. Let me put this down. Christmas Hotel, 5 West 63rd Street. Ah, jeez. Okay, this is West 63rd. Where's 5? Hotel Empire. Must be down here. Could they mark it, perhaps? Could they mark it? Oh my god. Oh, here it is, YMCA. Oh, umbrella. Oh, come on. Inside out. Cocksucker. Motherfucker. It's a fucking hurricane. Oh, I'm wet. Not happy. And crap. Here's the boys' entrance.
I'm as restless as a willow in a windstorm. I'm as jumpy as a puppet on a string. I'd say that I had spring fever, but I know it isn't spring. I'm as starry-eyed and vaguely discontented, like a nightingale without a song to sing. Oh, why should I have spring fever? When it isn't even spring, I keep wishing I were somewhere else, walking down a strange new street, hearing the words that I have never heard from a man I've yet to meet. I'm as busy as a spider spinning daydreams. I'm as giddy as a baby on a swing. I haven't seen a crocus or a rosebud or a robin on the wing, but I feel so gay in a melancholy way, that it might as well be spring. It might as well be spring.
Oh.
No? Not yet. Because
you're
too close, so you can
be fine. Sorry.
Come down over there, man. There you go, right there. There you go,
by the time I'm here. Today's 19th.
We don't have that no more. No.
Listen, Hi, how you doing?
I have a confirmation.
I mean, I have a reservation.
Yeah, check-in time is at 2:30. We're going to check your reservation. If your room is ready, we'll give it to you.
Okay.
Now we wait.
Okay.
Oh, yes. I have one room, but it's $92. This one is $88.
So. Well, that's fine. I'll change it up to $92.
Okay.
It's nicer.
Yes.
What's the difference on that one?
That they have 10 bathrooms. The bathroom you don't need to be shared with nobody.
Oh. More. Well, you know what?
We don't sell those.
I like it.
Okay. How are you? I'll see your ID, please.
Oh yeah, sure. Hold on.
That was fast.
I tried. We did 170 to 100.
Thank you.
Sure. Is it supposed to rain all day? No. I brought an umbrella, but I think I need to get another one.
Okay. And then what?
And then what is right? Well, I'm just going over to the opera tonight. That's my plan. That's why.
You know, in the newspaper stand, they sell some umbrella. Maybe.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and Dillon Reed Pharmacy, right at 62 on Broadway.
62 on Broadway? Oh yeah, I'll try that. Sure. So I upgraded and I'm getting my own bathroom. Love it. So checkout time is noon.
2 days different. So that's 2 different days. Your room number.
Okay.
47. Some information from the Westside YMCA. You're allowed to use all the facility we have. We have a gym.
Oh.
Staying room, pool, sauna.
Oh, I didn't bring a. Didn't bring my.
Can I give you a map?
Oh, wow. That's really nice.
This map is good.
Yeah. You know, good place to eat dinner.
Well, around this area, there's a lot of restaurants.
Yeah.
Right here in the corner, there's
okay.
3 restaurants. But in here, also, we have a cafeteria.
Uh-huh. Oh, good.
The building.
Oh, great.
Okay,
thank
so
you so much. So it's the 13th floor, right?
Yes,
okay.
1347.
Thank you. Okay. 1347. On the 13th floor. It's really nice in here. So it's like a mission. Like, I don't know if missions are right. It looks like Spanish style. And in the corner, there's an old-fashioned mailbox, the kind that runs the entire length of the building, and so you could be on the 13th floor and just drop it down. Oh, here we go. Elevator. 13. Thanks. That's odd. They have a 13th floor.
Yes. Well, I guess they don't have any truck with that suspicion.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of buildings, you know. And this is an older building, too. Surprisingly. Well, it's probably new. That's new.
Well, they have 2 double rooms, quarter rooms, overlooking the park with a bath. We always ask for, and
yeah.
Once on 13, once on 12.
Wow.
We always ask for those rooms. And if they don't have 12 and they only have 13, they always ask if 13's okay
with
us.
Really?
A lot of people won't stay there.
Yeah, I just upgraded. I mean, when I came here, I was going to be in a room shared, and then they upgraded me to this, so.
Oh, well, yeah. This is
47 I need, so it's this way, I guess. Yeah. Oh, look at this modern art. Okay, where's 47? Ooh, 13. Mockingbird Lane. So where's 1347? Okay. 1334. Here, I'm caught in a maze. Oh, here we go. We're getting closer. 1347. Okay. Oh, more art. 13. Hi.
Hi.
Oops, sorry. 1347. 43. 44. 45, 46, it's the last door. It's like a maze. Okay. Nobody in here. It's very small. Lock that. Yeah, let's
lock that.
They said something about, is it not a shared bathroom or something? This, I don't see any kind of, okay, let me put my stuff down.
You've been listening to The Flatus Show. You can reach me at 206-339-JOSE, or you can reach me at kenty@theflatusshow.com. Thank you for listening.